Welcome to the only place where cleaners and restorers can listen weekly and become rich cleaners simply by applying proven business growth strategies that we share here. Featuring industry legend Joe Polish and I'm Joel Cohen, together we bring you the Rich Cleaner Podcast.
Hello, this is Joe Polish and I'm here with Joel Cohen.
Hello.
And welcome to the first episode of the Rich Cleaner Podcast, where we're going to share with cleaners what they need to have direction, confidence, and capabilities to build what we call an ELF business, which is easy, lucrative, and fun versus a HALF business, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. And what we want to do on this particular episode is share the history of how all of this started with Piranha Marketing. Me and Joel have known each other for darn near 20 years.
Just about.
And we've helped literally thousands of cleaners. We are an organization that has helped more professional cleaners and restorers transform their businesses than any other company or organization in the world in the area of direct response marketing. And we have more evidence of success than you could ever invalidate anything that we're going to share. And so the purpose of these podcasts, and this will be the very first episode, and this particular episode is on video. But if you're listening to this on audio on iTunes, you can watch the actual video at the richcleaner.com website for the podcast, and there will be all kinds of resources and links and things that will help you build and grow your business. This podcast is free, so we're going to give you better free advice, training, proven strategies, methodologies. You're going to hear me go on rants about my philosophies and things, but it's going to be incredibly valuable, and it's going to be the go-to place for cleaners and restorers that want to have the best worldview, the most powerful perspectives, and certainly the most useful, proven, ethical strategies, methodologies, processes, best practices to build and grow a cleaning and restoration company. So, Joel, where do we start with all this? There's so much we could talk about.
I think it's important that people know. It's great that you set the groundwork for what they're going to expect when they come to listen to a Rich Cleaner podcast. Yep. But I think it'd be good to get a little background about, you know, who we are,
right,
where we come from, you know, what we're up to today.
Yep.
And so they can relate to why what we have to say is important.
And I think people should actually go to the richcleaner.com site, watch the video of this if they're listening to this on audio, and look at the red chairs that we're sitting in if they're not watching this on video, and the lovely shirt that you have. How would you describe that shirt? Is that what a professional cleaner wears when they're not, like, you know,
yeah,
a cleaner?
Yeah, this is professional cleaner gear.
Yes.
Did you know that?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to start a new line.
Right.
You can find it at richcleaner.com.
So the point is, we're going to have some fun with this, too, because, you know, business without making it fun, enjoyable, and entertaining, certainly we're going to give you entertainment, so it'll be like infotainment in a lot of ways with the podcast. So this is going to be fun. If you don't like my personality, you know, whatever, then you need to listen to some other marketing guru in the cleaning industry. But if you want stuff that's really going to move the dial, we're going to do that. I'm going to give some background on my history, Joel, about how I got started with this. Certainly over 7,000 companies worldwide have become members of Piranha Marketing over the years, starting in 1994. When I started sharing my strategies to other cleaners. But I want everyone to know that me and Joel both started out literally struggling. We learned marketing as a means of survival because I needed to eat. And given the choice of starving or eating, I prefer eating. What's that whole saying about necessity is the mother of invention? You know, and so I needed to figure out what to do. I never intended that I would ever teach strategies to other cleaners, let alone today. You know, I run the highest level group in the world for direct response marketers, which is outside of the cleaning industry. But for all the cleaners, we have mom and pop operations that we've helped, and the single largest privately held contract cleaning company in the world, Stan Dubin, Harvard Maintenance, is a client of mine. $310 million a year in revenue. They're currently at 7,000 employees. So we have all gamuts of cleaners, commercial, residential, restoration, cleaning, you name it. We've experienced it. Now, having said that, going back to the very beginning, I started in 1990 with my cleaning company. I had a friend from high school that talked me into investing in a cleaning company with him. I haven't told this story in a long time, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
So you've heard it before.
I've heard it.
Yeah, and if people have been with us for a long time, they're like, I've maybe heard that before. So this will be a good reminder. But basically, I bought a portable machine, some chemicals and equipment, got a business card that said, professional cleaning, residential and commercial, and a phone number. I even got my original business card. Yeah. I should have pulled it out and actually showed it for this podcast, but, whatever. We'll show it later.
This is not unlike probably a lot of cleaners. I mean, this is real similar to how I got into it, too, but go ahead.
Yeah. I never intended to start a carpet cleaning company. It's one of those accidental industries that a lot of people just stumble into, and then voila, they're in it. And so here I was with this stuff, and I had a business partner at the time who said, we're going to start up, we're going to make phone calls. And he worked for a company where the guy was grossing about $600,000 a year in the late 80s in Mesa, Arizona. And what he said, that this guy was an alcoholic, and he would show up to work late, he would scream at the team, but he had about four different gals that would make phone calls, and they would do two rooms in the hall for $39.95. It was a telemarketing operation. And so then he would actually close some of the jobs, and he would also do some of the cleaning, but he was mostly on the phones. And so he's like, yeah, Joe, we can go into this. I'll set up a phone room. And, I had no experience with this stuff. When I was growing up, my mother died when I was 4 years old. We moved every 2 years my entire childhood because my father was devastated. We never hired a professional cleaner growing up. I can't even remember if my father ever rented a piece of equipment. Maybe we just moved every 2 years because the carpet were grungy and that was an excuse. I have no idea. But here I was going into business with this guy with aspirations that we would build and grow a successful cleaning business. And after about 2 months, he was partying every night, getting drunk every night. I had to take his name off the business account. I had invested the only money I had, which was about $1,500, and I was stuck with this, I didn't have a truck, man. I didn't have a van. I had a pickup truck and a portable machine. And so without making a long story short, which short story long, but I will kind of just give you some of the defining moments. So here I have with his chemicals and equipment. I had to take this guy off the business account. I'm like, what do I do? I've exhausted my options. I needed to just get business.
This is here in Arizona, too, right?
Here in Arizona, yeah, absolutely.
Hotter than heck while you're cleaning carpets, all that.
Right, which is right now we're in my building in Tempe, Arizona. It's an 11,000 square foot building, so we do a lot of cool stuff here. But it was not too far from where I even am today. I've been in Arizona for about 30 years of my adult life. And so I have this equipment, and I start knocking on doors. I start handing out business cards. I go to apartment complexes, and for 2 years, I basically struggle and suffer trying to figure out what to do. And in the midst of this, I was going to go into another business. I'd gotten certified by Mike West and the late Carl Williams. I was a good guy. I did as good of a job cleaning that I could with the portable equipment. I eventually, ended up getting a truck mount, of course. That's a whole nother story. But in the beginning, I just did whatever I could, in order to generate business. And I never did bait and switch. What I didn't realize, though, in the very beginning, I was so ignorant. And my friend Dan Sullivan says there's two things you need in business when you first start. You need ignorance and courage. And so I certainly had a lot of ignorance, but I had courage. And that's how a lot of people start out. And so I just didn't even want to be in the cleaning business anymore because I couldn't figure out how to make it work. And there was one time where I have another friend from high school. I've since then, I don't really hang out with anyone I went to high school with. Maybe one guy that I know. Most everyone else, completely, those are long gone relationships. And he invited me to go jet skiing. And some people have heard my jet ski story. But this is one of the most important conversations I've had with anyone that was my first real true mentor. So my friend Pat said, would you like to go jet skiing? And at this time in my life, I'm broke. I don't have any, real ability to go and have fun. Because if you're broke, it's hard to even go have fun because you're always constantly thinking about how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to survive? How am I going to pay my rent? That sort of stuff. And so I said, no, I'm really busy. I got a lot of work to do. And he said, well, the guy that owns the jet ski is a multi-million-dollar real estate investor. And, you might be able to, learn some stuff from him. And I was like, wow, that's great. Maybe I can go talk to this guy. So I went jet skiing to Saguaro Lake, which is here in Arizona. And we go out there, and there's four of us, my friend Pat and these two other guys. I don't even remember this guy's name. And so finally, there's two jet skis. And so Pat and this other guy are out jet skiing. And I finally have my chance to sit down with this wealthy, business owner on the tailgate of a pickup truck. And so I ask him a question. I said, so I hear you do really well, and I have a small carpet cleaning company here in Arizona, and I'm, it's not doing really great. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions or advice of another industry I could go into in order to do better. And he said, well, are there any companies doing what you're doing that are doing well? And I said, yeah, you know, there's a couple companies here in Arizona that are doing over $1 million a year, and to me that's a lot of money. And he said, well, if there's other people that are doing well in your business and you're not, there's nothing wrong with the business you're in. There's something wrong with you.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I was like, no, you know, I'm certified. I've gotten training. I've been doing this for a while. I don't do bait and switch. You know, a lot of these companies are already established. They've been around a lot. People know who they are. You know, and I was just doing
all sorts of
most
excuses.
People, yeah, making. Yeah. You can either create or you can complain. And yeah. and I was complaining, but I didn't know what else to do. I thought effort equaled, you know, results. I thought if you worked really hard, and what I had to realize painfully is that there's no relationship between being good and getting paid. So, you know, I was making excuses, and he said, well, he goes, look, young man, you're like most people. You think the grass is always greener on the other side. And he said, what's going to happen if you go into another industry, you're going to spend another 6 months, another year, another 2 years to learn the technical skills of another business so you can go out and repeat the same bad business habits that have caused you to be a failure in this business. And I was like, wow, you know, that's not really the motivational speech I wanted to hear. But it hit me, you know, he's like, what you need to do, young man, is you need to learn fundamental business skills. You need to learn how to make a business work. Because once you learn how to make a business work, you can not only take the business you have and make it successful, but if you decide you don't even like that business, you can take those skills and you can take them to another industry. And because if you don't, you're going to continue your whole life having these failures and always struggling until you learn how to get it right. So I left that trip pretty sunburnt, crispy, driving home in my pickup truck, and I had this thought to me that said, you know, I live in America. I love this country. People can complain about America all day long, but we have amazing opportunities here. And I thought, there's other people that don't appear to be, smarter than me that much, that are doing far better than I am. And I don't think I'm a total dumbass. So, I mean, is it them? Is it me? Is it luck? I mean, what is it? And so I thought, you know, they know something that I don't. And what I decided, I made a commitment to myself that I am not going to get out of this business. I'm not going to look for other opportunities until I figure out how to make it work. The question is, who knows how to do that? People have written books on it. So I started reading books. And one of the first books that I read was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, which was written years ago. But it's a great book. And it talked about systemizing and automating your business. It talked about three types of people inside the business. Well, there's the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician is how Michael Gerber described it. And so we all have these different elements of us. The technician does the work, the manager has to manage stuff, and the entrepreneur is the dreamer, the visionary, the one that, you know, thinks he can do everything. But you got to get all of these elements of yourself working together. But it talked about creating a turnkey operation. If you were going to have more than one location, like a McDonald's, which I don't recommend anyone ever eat at McDonald's because it's toxic food. But that being said, it's kind of like, how do you replicate it and systemize it? And I thought to myself, if there's any area, and I'm sorry I'm doing all the talking.
Okay, that's okay. We get used it's to an interesting story. Yeah, well, I'll just sit by and idly do nothing.
You just kind of just sit there and smile and with that beautiful shirt you're wearing, the people that are listening on audio are going to have to go to Rich Cleater. See, that's a ploy to get people to go to richcleater.com. Embed that into your head because that will be the most important website for the growth of your cleaning and restoration business ever. Now, you may not know that yet, but it is true. So, where was I?
You were talking about all sorts of things.
I just want to make sure you're paying attention.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I can't even remember where I was at. But so the point is, I read the E-Myth, and I thought if there's any area of business that I should focus on automating and systemizing, it's the one area that brings in all the money. In the area of the company, it's not human resources, it's not management, it's not inventory, it's sales and marketing. So if you wanted to think of your company as different departments, you know, what department is most important to focus first on systemizing? And what do I need the most? I need jobs. I need clients. I need business. You can be the best manager in the world, but if you have no business to manage, if you have no cash flow, you're screwed. It doesn't matter, you know, how great your database is. If you have no one in your database, it's going to give you money. You know, and so, or your website, oh, I really need to build a website. Well, maybe, but you might want to just do an every door direct mail campaign. You might just want to build a referral program. You might want to do a joint venture with somebody. But I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't even know what marketing meant. And so that, but that book didn't teach me anything about sales and marketing. And what's funny is several years later, in 1997, after I had figured out the marketing and become the leading, you know, trainer of marketing principles in the cleaning industry, Michael Gerber ended up hiring me for consulting for the E-Myth Academy, and he told me at the time that that was the best day he'd ever spent in his history with a marketing consultant. So I mean, it's funny how quickly things turned around. But this was back in 1992. So 5 years later, you know, the what I thought was the Bible of business, the guy that wrote it, like, is,
you
know, yeah, for consulting. So it was totally funny. And I interviewed him and everything. So that being said, so here I am with this idea. And then I was given my very first newsletter on marketing written by a guy named Gary Halbert. And so I started reading it. And I learned the type of marketing that transformed my life, which was direct response. And at the time, and even today, most people focus on build a brand, build your image, do institutional advertising. And what I learned, and I was doing that. I had paid for radio ads. I was running little coupons in like Valpak. I was putting my, I had small yellow page ads, which is pretty much name, rank, serial number, you know, who you are, what you do, your phone number. And I didn't really have an offer. I didn't even know what that meant. So when I read Gary Halbert's first newsletter, it pitched me on buying additional programs. So I signed up for his newsletter, and I bought a set of videos for $2,000 on credit card back then.
I mean, it's,
you know, because I was just, I got to learn this marketing stuff. But the thing that made the most sense to me was he said, can and clone yourself. You have to create a sales letter. And I learned that the difference between being rich and being broke could be one good sales letter. Now, today, it could be a video. It could be an audio. It could be on YouTube. It could be a website. But it is a sales letter. And so can and clone means you can be the greatest salesperson in the world, but you're limited by the clock. But with the right sales letter, you can talk to 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, tens of thousands of people. And if you're like nationwide, you can talk to millions of people robotically. But I didn't have a sales letter. I didn't have any of that stuff. And so sales is what you do when you're on the phone or face-to-face with somebody. Marketing is what you do to get someone on the phone or face-to-face with you, properly positioned, so by the time they talk to you, they're pre-interested, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, and predisposed to do business with you. And if you're listening to this and you immediately have an aversion to selling and marketing, you think, is selling evil? A lot of people like selling. Type in "is selling evil" into YouTube and watch the 3 minute and 50 second video of me answering the question, is selling evil, when they were videotaping me here in this room for a documentary for business owners you know, a couple years ago. And I answered the question, but you know, if you think selling is a bad thing or marketing is a bad thing, selling, I've thought of it today as, think of selling as influence, think of marketing as storytelling. If you're more influential, you're more persuasive, you can get more people to actually, you know, do business with you. If you tell a better story, you frame everything. And it's all about the framing. It's all about position. You can have a beautiful piece of art and you can, you know, scotch tape it to the wall. Looks completely different than if you put a nice frame around it. So what me and Joel are going to talk about on a continual basis on Rich Cleaner, we're going to interview people, we're going to share strategies, we're going to look at every aspect of helping someone build and grow a cleaning company. But it all started with me learning how to can and clone myself, creating one of my very first marketing tools, which we'll go into later, which is the Consumer Guide, and transforming my business. And so I took this small company that was doing $2,100 a month gross, and I built it up to over $12,300 a month once I started changing the message on my advertising. And there was no websites back then. There was no internet back then. So we had to learn how to convey this stuff in a much more difficult environment. We had to actually pay money for stamps, and we had to print stuff up, and we had to send it to people and see if they responded. We had to run advertising. We had to knock on doors. We had to do all kinds of things, telemarketing. And so now there's all these new mechanisms of delivery in order to do that, but we figured out a lot of stuff, and the greatest thing is we have an R&D gigantic experiment with over 7,000 cleaning and restoration companies and all kinds of service businesses in other parts of the world, because I also have the top marketing podcast in the world called I Love Marketing. So currently today, over 40,000 people a day just on that podcast listen to an hour of me and the guy, Dean Jackson, that I do it with talk. So we have great wisdom now. But that's sort of my starting point in how I got into this business. And now me and Joel have collaborated, and we are now helping thousands of cleaners. And we decided to launch this Rich Cleaner podcast for everyone that has never heard of us before. Back in the late 90s, every major city in the United States with a phone book had one or multiple versions of my ads running in multiple different industries, driving people to call and listen to educational free recorded messages. We launched Ethical Services when I went on ABC's 2020 with Barbara Walters and Arnold Diaz at the time, teaching consumers how to choose an ethical cleaning company. I was doing more to promote the IICRC back then their $175,000 a year advertising budget was, with my one fell swoop on getting, you know, PR and everything that I was doing. So a lot of stuff had been done. So for people that are new, this is your introduction to a company that just knows what we do and how to do it and has a ton of successful students. And for people that have been around for a while, there's thousands of cleaners that still use our strategies all over the world, and most people are totally unaware of it that are new in business. So that's my long spiel, Joel.
Well, no, it'll be exciting, because all that whole story, everything that you told, helps to set, like you said, the frame for what this Rich Cleaner podcast is going to deliver. And, you know, what my role is here is, you know, I've had experience, which I'll tell my story here in just a second. Tons of experience with you, Joe, and with all the stuff you teach and what you've brought to the cleaning industry. And I'll tell how I made use of that. But it's nice to know that you're at the level where you are now, where you have so many connections of top performing entrepreneurs in the world, that those ideas, they're usually brought into your group that you have, the Genius Network Mastermind, at a super high level. So when it comes to trying to adapt those into a service industry and find out the application, there's a pretty big gap between, you know, those high-level ideas and how they can apply. And so I'm excited, because I'm plugged into access to those ideas and the what you bring through that group. I'm excited to bring a lot of those ideas to the cleaning world in the same way you used to do before your group existed. But now we have so many more people to contribute and so many different ideas that we can take and apply to the cleaning industry. And they're cutting edge. That's the coolest thing, is these ideas are things that people bring that are running, you know, multi-million, in some cases multi-billion dollar companies. But those ideas can be brought down to a level that is applicable for the cleaning niche. And so when I think about, you know, how I came to know you and Piranha Marketing, I mean, the start of your story is really similar to mine. My wife and I were just married, and I had been working for someone as a carpenter for a grocery chain store up in Alaska. And it was just hard labor, doing all sorts of different things. Right. And I got this great idea for my father-in-law, actually, to start a carpet cleaning business. And I listened to the set of tapes on Entrepreneur Magazine. They put out a set of tapes back then. So I remember listening to a Walkman for 2 weeks as I worked, all about how to start a carpet cleaning business. And it was pretty good information, general information on, you know, how should you name your company, and how, you know, what kind of equipment should you get. And, you know, now that I look back in retrospect, I mean, it was really basic information, but it had nothing to do with good marketing and how to really promote yourself. And so, you know, I gave my 2 weeks notice, took my final paycheck, bought a portable machine, and, you know, put everything I had into making this, you know, a go. And first, you know, at summertime, I went door-to-door manual marketing. And when I put that in a place, it was like it worked well. I got about a job an hour knocking on doors. And then wintertime hit, there was 3 feet of snow on the ground, and forget it, I couldn't get any jobs anymore. And I was stuck going, you know, what am I going to do? I remember actually the very first thing Julie, my wife, and I did is we put an ad, a little tiny ad, in a TV guide. When the ad came out, we were like, wow, it's a nice day And we had the big brick cell phone. We're like, let's just go out on the lake. Maybe, you know, we'll just wait for the phone to ring and we'll start booking work like crazy. Right. And, you know, what's really funny is the phone actually rang while we were out on the lake, and we were like, we are entrepreneurs. You know, we are going to kill it.
Right.
Of course, that didn't last. And that ad, that was about the only phone call we got off that ad.
Right.
And in the middle of winter now, fast forward, here we are, you know, putting our rent on credit card. It was a really precarious situation. I did not even know where my next job was going to come from. I'd exhausted all my resources, cleaned for every friend and family member, and gotten as many referrals as I possibly could, but it was winter and nobody was picking up the phone to call us. And so that's when I realized I got to do something that's different than what everybody else was doing that I could see to get business. And that's when I ran into your ad in Clean Facts. We responded, got a free report, which was great information, a lot of value, but, you know, really to take it to the next step, we had to get your system. And I thought, oh man, you know, this free report, what in the world, you know? I thought that was going to be the answer. Now I got to go further and buy something, you know? So I was kind of thinking about it, and then, but the one thing that made me move forward was there was a 100% money back guarantee.
Right.
Look, doesn't work, send it back. I'm like, well, I got to go for broke here because, you know, what else am I going to do? And I didn't know if the stuff was going to work. I had no clue. But all I did is I mimicked exactly what it said to do, what the program said to do. Started to put it into place. And we were diligent. That's one thing I have to say. We were diligent. We put the strategies into place. And in the first year, we went from making $35,000 the previous year from the summer to the winter. From that winter where I started implementing strategies to the following winter, we did $125,000 in business. And I mean, we were starting with the portable. It's kind of almost like, you know, it's interesting because good marketing at the time, when I look back at the cleaner, I was trying to do my best possible job that I knew how to, but I didn't get certified. I didn't have all the right ways to do business,
right,
the best practices. I hadn't learned those. I didn't even know they existed until I finally started reading up and getting educated. And I did that because I came in contact with your company.
And what's funny about that too, and I want you to continue, is I didn't realize how many cleaners, as a result of buying my marketing program and looking at my education-based marketing materials, because in 1992 to 1993, I was the Arizona director of the Carpet and Fabric Care Institute, and I used to bring the certification classes to Arizona. I was always going to the conventions and trade shows. I was always big on trying to learn. I had long hair and a ponytail, and people completely underestimated me, but I paid attention. I was really trying to do stuff. And in the process of learning the importance of delivering a great service and being competent and knowing what the heck it is you're doing, I would write about, here's the things you need to know on hiring a carpet cleaner in the advertising and promotional materials. And I drove so many cleaners to go and get trained and to get certified and stuff, which of course the industry completely missed all of that how instrumental just teaching marketing to people was, started them on this path of just going deeper and educating. I mean, even all of the marketing people that came out of the woodworks, almost all of them were my clients. Half of them knocked my stuff off completely, thinking, oh, slap marketing guru and, you know, run an ad, and all of a sudden you're, you know, and none of them had built their companies using, you know, strategies. They were trying to, you know, teach watered-down versions of stuff. And I learned that, man, you know, when you have to learn something for yourself, that's a completely different experience than reading a book and just thinking all of a sudden it's been transplanted. I mean, going through the motions. But, yeah, I mean, when you get people that start learning in capabilities and start immersing themselves in it, all of a sudden they just start looking at all different aspects of the company, the before, during, and after units of their business. And so, yeah, that's what you did.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm looking down at this little guide. This is the Consumer's Guide to Carpet Cleaning.
Yeah, that's one of the first versions.
This is an educational-based piece, but when I read this, when I bought the program, I realized, oh, shoot, there's something called the IICRC. I need to get certified.
Right.
I need to step up my game, and I didn't even know this existed. And what was really amazing is that good marketing got me jobs before I even knew what I should have been doing. But immediately I changed it because I wholeheartedly wanted to deliver the best possible service. I was going to say that, you know, that first year we did 125,000. The second year of using this kind of marketing, we doubled that. So we did $250,000 a year with our carpet cleaning business. And we were just on cloud nine. We couldn't, you know, believe that this was happening, that our business exploded in that way. And I think the most pivotal moment for us in realizing how marketing can affect your business and your life was when we came to Arizona and we saw you in person. We saw all the people you brought to a conference.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying, hey, and this is great, by the way, is, you know, taking something like the consumer awareness guide.
And I'll explain that in a moment so people watching can.
Any of the strategies, any of the things that are in what we teach, taking it and plugging it in without even knowing why it works, it just works. So you don't have to be this mega mind, you know, understanding all this stuff to make this work in your company.
Right.
And all we ever did was plug and play with what we got. But it was when we went to a marketing, you know, event where there were a group of, I forget how many people at the first one, you know, maybe a couple hundred people. And we started to realize why the marketing worked.
Right.
And when that happened is when our business really grew exponentially.
Yeah.
And that's because you start to recognize not only how, just to recognize a good piece or a good strategy and duplicate it, put it into place, but to have the knowledge on what else can I come up with?
Right.
What other areas of my business and my life can I take a message that I feel is important to get to people and utilize marketing to leverage it so that more people hear that message?
Yeah.
And that was just an incredible, empowering moment when that happened. And I'll never forget it. And everything that we have done in business and life, you can trace back to a message to market match.
Yeah.
And knowing how to do it, knowing how to find out who you're trying to reach, who your target market is, you know, what are their interests, what different media do they read, internet, websites do they visit, whatever the current media is, how to get that message in front of them, not in one way, but in several different facets, and make sure that they see the benefits of that message and using whatever service or whatever action you want them to take.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. And I learned all of this starting out from Gary Halbert, who was a copywriter. And the greatest thing about copywriters is words can influence, words can advise, words can repel. I mean, words are powerful. And the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill is a message on the paper, which I've said before. And if you can change the message, you can change the response. And when I realized that by changing a headline, by making an offer, see, every person out there has a system for buying. And the system for buying in a capitalistic society is price. And if you give them no other way to make a buying decision, they're going to always use the default system, which is price. And so what I learned is that the worst offer you can make is no offer at all. The second worst offer you can make is a price offer. And what everyone does that doesn't understand marketing, and when I say marketing, people completely have different versions of marketing. You say marketing, they're like, oh, multi-level marketing. People come to me and say, oh, I do what you do. I do marketing. I'm like, well, what exactly do you do? Oh, well, you know, we have a PR company, or we, you know, run, you know, Facebook ads or whatever. I'm like, well, how do you know that has to do with what I do? Have you ever read any of my stuff? Have you ever listened? You know, so people have all these opinions about what marketing is, but direct response, you know, I was talking about this earlier, institutional image advertising is about getting your name out there. Direct response is getting your name out there and getting a response back. And so that requires a certain type of bait to catch the fish, to reel in the fish, to keep them engaged. Okay, and it's not like hooking people in a bad way. It's like literally giving people permission to want to do business with you. Like when I would run, you know, my very first ad in CleanFacts said how to get a flood of new customers. And then it would go on and I would talk about how I have learned how to double your business. And I'm going to teach you how to double your business in 6 months or less. Call this 24-hour free recorded message, because there's no websites back then, and request a free report. Now, the free report would describe what it is I had discovered, what I knew, and it would also make an offer for people to invest in my marketing program. Now, for people that are listening to this, we're going to give away more free information on this podcast. If you never buy anything from me, if you never do business with me and Joel, you are still going to learn the strategies that work, on the technical side, we're going to interview people in the we're going to interview some of the top chemical and equipment manufacturers. We're going to interview people on management. We're going to, sometimes it'll be me and Joel talking. Sometimes it'll be just Joel. Sometimes it'll be me. Sometimes it'll be past episodes and interviews I've done with people that have nothing to do with the cleaning industry, because we want to bring knowledge and expertise to you in all areas of life so that you can be a well-rounded person. Sometimes we're going to talk about organization. Sometimes we're going to talk about time management. Sometimes we'll talk about internet addiction. I mean, there's a whole gamut of things that we intend to do with the Rich Cleaner podcast, but this is a school that will pay you to attend if you ever do any business with us, and we're going to create value first. And you can make up your own decision saying, hey, do I know, like, and trust these guys? And there's a lot of speculation from people that don't know what it is we really do, that have opinions about it. But any cleaner or restorer that has ever followed our strategies the way that we teach them, that is ethical. Because if you're a bait-and-switch company, probably not good to do this, because we are in the relationship business, not the transaction business. Okay, people refund transactions. They don't refund relationships. And some people have invested in my stuff in the past, and they don't use it, and then they send it back and they say it doesn't work. It's kind of like joining a gym, never going into the gym and lifting weights and saying, I'm still not getting better. I haven't lost any weight. I haven't got any stronger. Well, did you do anything? And what's funny is someone would never buy a truck mount or a van and then let it sit parked in their garage, and then call up the truck mount manufacturer or the, you know, the Chevy or Ford or whatever vehicles, and say, you know, my carpet cleaning or my restoration company is not successful, damn it, and I bought this van, and why isn't it working? But they do that all the time with our type of advice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? Okay, let me get this right. You bought a book, you bought a course, you know, we gave you an idea, you didn't implement it, you didn't execute it, but somehow this stuff doesn't work. I mean, is it the stuff that, you know, the tools can't sit in the toolbox and then automatically run your life for you. You have to pick them up and you have to use them.
It'd be like if you bought the truck mount and they say, okay, when you use the truck mounted machine, you have to put the key in, turn the key on, make sure the machine is up to, you know, a certain RPM, and that you have, you know, your suction is at a certain rate, your pressure is at a certain rate, then you're able to clean the carpet. And all they do is stick the key in.
Right.
And nothing else. And then go, you know what? The dang machine doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what happens.
So the reason I bring that up is, like, look, we want to help a certain type of person, and I also want to drive away people that are truly, so, their expectations are so ridiculous and onerous and idiotic that it's like, I don't want to throw pearls before swine, and I have no tolerance for suffering fools. I mean, I run the highest level mastermind group in the world for direct response marketers. I have a billionaire that's a client. I'm Richard Branson's largest fundraiser. I ran Arianna Huffington's book campaign a few months ago, and she debuted number one on New York Times. I deal with very high level people, and I also love small service businesses. I respect it. I've been starving. I've struggled. I've worked 12, 14, 16 hours a day in the middle of the summer in Arizona in apartment complexes that have no air conditioning, up three stories that I had to carry the portable up myself, and sitting there cleaning carpets for hours at a time in a sauna. And I'm allergic to cats. And so there are times where I was like wheezing and I couldn't even breathe. And if you could imagine, if it's 120, 125 degrees where it gets at its worst state in Arizona in August, and you're in an apartment complex without any air conditioning, I've done hard manual labor. So I don't want to hear anyone bitch about, oh, I have to, you know, figure out how to read a course and try a different, it's like, really grow up. I mean, you either want to be a successful entrepreneur or you don't. Now, I say that not to be crude or obnoxious, because frankly, I'm very much a generous person. I love helping people. I also just don't want to hear excuses, though, because the fact is, if you're willing to put in the effort, what you will get out of the advice that we're going to be dispensing on this podcast will change your life. It will change your income. It will save you time. You will develop better relationships. You will be respected in the community. You will grow your confidence. You will grow your skills. You will have more clarity. It will just make your life better. And that's what I'm striving for. And I'm not going to dispense free advice to people that aren't willing to actually do something with
you
it.
You got
to
use it.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to use it.
So to give everyone listening some stuff that they can actually use, what the best thing that I can do, and I also will say this, and people are going to hear some things that we'll repeat over and over again that are fundamental philosophies on how to think about stuff and how to frame stuff. And so one of the very first strategies that I learned is how to actually write a sales letter. But I didn't even know what that meant when I first read the Gary Halbert newsletter. And then I started reading a lot of Dan Kennedy stuff. Dan's a good friend of mine. Dan's written some great books. My interviews with Dan Kennedy are online at ilovemarketing.com. We collaborated. He wrote a lot of my sales copy. He's a grumpy, sort of curmudgeonous guy, but a very smart marketer. But I became his poster child because Dan taught me a bunch of stuff, and I taught Dan a bunch of stuff about doing contests and promotions. And so we used to both speak at each other's conferences for the first 9 years of our business and all of this. So it's really interesting. And I'll share with everyone the books that I've read back then that were instrumental, the books that we read today, the information to pay attention to. But for the most part, most people aren't even going to have to do that much thinking because we're going to do the thinking for them, and then we'll share with them what we consider to be the best, most useful stuff. So going back to sales letters. So I had this sales letter concept in my mind, and I was like, okay, well, everyone's advertising price. There's a lot of bait and switch companies. There's people that do low price. How do I advertise something other than price? Because if I was getting any calls whatsoever from my pretty pathetic advertising and promotions in the beginning, it was, how much do you charge? That was the first question that someone would call me, and it drove me nuts because, I have to have, it's just like Groundhog Day. I mean, I have to keep repeating the same information, that I use, this sort of equipment, here's, and so I was reading an ad in a local, it wasn't like a newspaper, but it was one of those, it's like a local city guide that is given out for free. And it was Consumer Guide to Buying Carpet. And I called up and I requested this guy from this guy named Barry Patterson years ago. I mean, this was like in 1992. And I had just started reading the Gary Halbert letter. And Gary ended up becoming a dear friend of mine. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2006. But basically, I had read this ad, and I called the guy up and I requested it. I told him I had a carpet cleaning company and I'd love to read his guide. So he sent it to me. I read it, and then I called him up. I said, how did you do this? And he told me about a copywriter that he'd hired to actually help him write this guide. And so I said, can you give me his name? And so he gave me his name, and I ended up calling this guy up. His name was Trey. And so I said, I have a small carpet cleaning company. I'd love to put together a consumer guide to carpet cleaning to teach people how to choose a carpet cleaner. So he charged me $1,800. Now, this is back in 1992. I'd already bought a $2,000 set of tapes on VHS from Gary Halbert. I'd already subscribed to his $197 newsletter, which I thought was all the money in the world at the time. When I was given my first Gary Halbert newsletter, I'm going to go back and forth because I'm kind of ADD and I love jumping around. Hopefully people can follow me. If I say anything that's hard to follow, just say, please clarify that, Joe. And yeah, I know you will. So basically, I'm reading the first issue of the Gary Halbert letter, and my friend who had given it to me about halfway through the newsletter, it was really interesting. He was obnoxious. He was kind of vulgar. It was ideas I'd never heard before. And I said to my friend, I go, where do you get this? He goes, I subscribe to it. And I'm like, how much does it cost? He's like, $197 a year. And I'm like, and it's 8 pages. And I'm like, how often do you get it? He said, once a month. I go, you pay $197 to get this once? Does anything else come with it? He's like, no. You mailed an 8-page newsletter. And so I got out a calculator, and I calculated, and I think it was $16.25 an issue.
Okay.
And I think that's what it totaled.
For 8 pages.
For 8 pages.
$16.
And so, and I go, you can buy a book for that much. You're paying $197 for, what? I don't get it. He goes, Joe, you're the last person I ever thought would say something like that. Keep reading the newsletter. And 2 pages later, in that same issue, it said, smart business owners are people that pay for information for the quality information. Dumb people are people that value information by the pound. And it says a really smart, savvy person would rather pay $1,000 for 10 pages of really useful information than $10 for 300 pages of fluff in certain books. And I mean, I couldn't believe it was in the very first issue, but it was almost like all of these things just happened in order to give me these messages that I need, because it was like a big smack to the side of the head, like, dumbass. It's not the bulk. I mean, you're not paying for bulk. You're actually paying for valuable, useful stuff. And so I subscribed to that newsletter. And then that newsletter I was totally engaged in. And then, of course, Gary upsold me into more stuff. But what I've learned is that, you know, if stuff is going to help you, great marketing never costs you anything. It always brings you back, you know, and even to this day, I spend over $100,000 a year on my personal training.
And that even applies to what we're talking about here, because, you know, people are not going to have to pay for what we're giving, but they will pay with their time.
Exactly.
And just, I mean, how hard is it? And, you know, this is a great thing about being a cleaner, especially if you're out in the field, is you have so much time to just, you know, listen to educational information, to do whatever. I mean, you know, some guys just sit there and think about life. Some guys, you know, sit there and, are you looking at my shirt again?
Yeah, I think your shirt is
I know,
beautiful.
They have to see this
shirt. People need to go to, if you're watching this on video, you've already gotten how powerful
it's
this
so
is.
It's so fantastic. Yeah. They're going to be sorely disappointed. No, really, you need to see it.
We're going to have our own clothing line. Well, Damon John from Shark Tank is a personal friend of mine.
Oh,
Ryan,
very nice.
Who, you know, who is Ryan Holiday, who's the director of marketing for American Apparel. I've got a lot of people that are, you know, my buddy Jeff Madoff, who I've known for 20 years, does all of the, you know, the commercials for Victoria's Secret. So, I mean, I've got some people.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah.
We could create our own clothing line.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck we'd call the line, but I'm sure maybe if somebody's listening to this, they can go into the comments on Rich Cleaner.
Yes, I like
it.
Go,
they
you
can,
know,
they can tell
start
us.
This out right on richcleaner.com. Please start the comments, because it's going to take probably a little bit before at least the smart people in the industry catch wind of this powerful podcast that's going to be the go-to conversations for the most successful cleaners on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, if people aren't listening to our Rich Cleaner podcast, they are going to be at a disadvantage.
Yeah,
and the people
absolutely.
That do listen to it are going to have an unfair advantage.
Here's the thing I was talking about is, you know, that lesson you learned from the Gary Halbert newsletter was that you don't pay for information by the pound, and that anything that you do invest in is really, it pays, what is this, a school that pays itself?
Pays you to attend.
Pays you to attend.
Yeah.
Well, here we are offering a school that costs nothing to attend except time, which every cleaner can find 30 minutes a week to
an
listen.
Hour.
Or an
it
hour,
actually should be
there should be way
hours.
More than
they
that.
You should listen to it several times.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at my shirt that many times, too.
Yeah, totally.
But no, you know, to take that time, it's an investment of time, yes, but I mean, It costs you nothing, because what it's going to pay back by being up to speed with the, you know, the current industry standards, the current latest equipment, how to translate all of that into marketing message that they can leverage and show that you are a cut above the next guy. You are the cleaner that's the expert in your area, and there's, you know, hands down, you will no longer be worried about what's, you know, what is your competition doing. Your prospects will make their decision in a complete vacuum, like I think those Dan Kennedy used to say that.
Yeah.
When they hear your marketing message in the right way, using the stuff that you learned at Rich Cleaner podcast, on the Rich Cleaner podcast, I mean, it makes so much sense. I think people would have to be absolutely insane and wear a shirt like mine.
Yeah, insane in the membrane. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
All right, so, no, but you're right. And so here's the thing. Going back to this consumer guide idea. So that seed was planted in my head. I had invested some money, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to get a sales letter. But what is that? So I pay this guy $1,800 to spend a month with me, not like every day, but it took a month period, about 30 days for us having several phone conversations, some in-person meetings, and I started teaching this guy about how to choose a carpet cleaner, because the method of marketing that I was going to employ was what we call education-based marketing. We were simply going to educate consumers about the things they don't know that they don't know, so that they can actually know how to hire a professional cleaner. And so what we started doing is, like, what are the misconceptions that people have about hiring a cleaner? What are the mistakes that people make? What are the ripoffs that they have? And so I created the first guide, my consumer awareness guide. And so anyone watching on video, so you know how much I have this embedded in my DNA. I don't even need to look at this, but it says,
Let me check.
You see if I miss anything,
okay.
And then you repeat what I say. So it says, consumer guide to carpet cleaning, read this guide and discover. And I won't say these in the right order, because, you know, there's all kinds of different ways.
But
7 questions ask a carpet cleaner before you invite them into your home. 6 costly misconceptions about carpet cleaning. 8 Mistakes to Avoid When Choosing a Carpet Cleaner, Crawling Critters and Crud, A Guide to the Slime, Grime, and Livestock That's Seeping, Creeping, and Galloping Through Your Carpet.
I can't believe you remember that
How to
line.
Avoid 4 Carpet Cleaning Rip-Offs, The Difference Between Value and Price, and How to Get Your Carpet Cleaner to 100% Guarantee Their Work. Did I miss anything?
There's 4 steps to a...
4 steps to a fresh, clean, healthy carpet, or how was it?
Yep.
Yeah,
that was
okay.
It.
And so when they open it up, here, I'll read it. It says, when you open it, well, I can keep going. You tell me if I didn't mess up. It says, so people would open it up. Now, here's what I'm doing. As I'm going through this, think about this. Prior to me creating this consumer awareness guide, most people had a flyer that was advertising price, or it would be a big logo or a slogan. We don't cut corners, we clean them. Or, you know, we've been in business since 1922. You know, doing what? Ripping people off? I mean, who gives a crap, right? So, and not that any of that isn't important, because it actually is. If you're certified and you're trained, that's wonderful. But if you don't convey it into benefits for the consumer to be like, I see how that applies to me, because what I learned is that people don't care about you. They don't care about how many years you've been in business. They don't even want to hire a carpet cleaner. This is owning stuff that they don't even want to think about. Hiring a carpet cleaner is about as exciting as going to the DMV. You're trying to sell a service that nobody wants to buy. And if you're going to try to make that compelling, you better sex it up a little bit. You better make it exciting. You better teach them things that they don't know they don't know. You better give them a reason to do business with you other than price. And I knew that early on in my early 20s. Somehow that translated into me because I was learning and studying marketing. And marketing is applied psychology. It's not about some trick or some gimmick or manipulating people. It's a deep understanding that people do business with you not because they understand what you do. People do business with you because they feel understood. And so you need to, you know, it's like that this line, if you want to sell what John Smith buys, you got to see through John Smith's eyes, right?
Yep.
And so you have to enter the conversation that's already existing in the prospect's mind, which Robert Collier wrote about in the Robert Collier letter book in the 1950s. And, you know, the mail order people are the ones that understand marketing better than most internet marketers today. So it's not technology. Technology is important, but psychology is infinitely more important. So applied psychology applies everywhere, including trying to actually present carpet cleaning services to people in a way to where like, oh, I know the difference now. So I created that consumer guide, which was different than a brochure. Everyone was using brochures. Everyone was using flyers. Everyone was using... I was buying every course I could find written in the carpet cleaning industry. It was all crap. Not only did it not work, if people actually applied it, they would actually lose money. And there were all these speakers that were running around in the cleaning industry, same old boys club, going to all these conventions, trying that. I see some of that today. Now, the people we're aligning ourselves with, like Legends brands and things like that, are very innovative, and they want to bring some of the most innovative stuff. But there's a lot of companies that are still regurgitating stuff that not only doesn't work, but it sends people down a path that's going to get them to lose money and be advertising victims. It's horrible. You know, it's not that we're going to teach people just how to make their marketing more effective. If people don't implement any of our marketing strategies, but just learn how to quit being an advertising victim and how to quit doing stuff that's going to cost them, that alone will transform their time and their lives. So anyway, I'm going on a tangent here. But so I teach him everything I need to do. So I have this consumer guide to carpet cleaning. Then they open it up and says, dear homeowner, choosing a carpet cleaner isn't easy. Why? Because you're bombarded with confusing claims, bad information, near worthless methods, unqualified technicians. How do you ever find a qualified, competent carpet cleaner? You start by reading this guide. Then it goes on, read this guide and discover the things I said. And the paragraph down here, I'll even show people that you won't see it here. But when you go down here, it says, now, we wrote this guide to help you better understand carpet cleaning. Now, with this information, you can make an informed, intelligent decision. Boom. Right there. See, what the number one question in all consumers' minds is, who can I trust? You have that, you know, you're not going to go to a restaurant and order food if you think it's going to give you food poisoning. Right. Okay, in a lot of ways, that's why you see fast food restaurants that are like selling toxic food but have a big name brand in other countries. People go there because there's a certain element, oh, I'm familiar with it. People would, in many cases, will eat poorly because at least they trust or at least have some familiarity with it. So the point is, the number one question is, who can I trust? And so your job as a marketer is to establish trust and rapport. And you not only want trust and rapport, you want trust and rapport with comfort. You want people to feel comfortable with you. And so, because people don't want to make an uninformed, idiotic decision, they want to make an intelligent decision. And if you provide them with the information on how to make an informed decision, who do you think they're going to want to do business with? the person that's actually teaching them how to do it. So when people would call and say, how much do you charge? I would say, well, you know, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, I've created a consumer's guide to carpet cleaning, which will teach everything you need to know on how to choose a professional carpet cleaner. I'd be happy to mail, because there was no internet back then, I will be happy to mail you this guide, and you can go ahead and read it. And if you decide you'd like to do business with us, then let us know, and I will offer to give you a free room of carpet cleaning up to 200 square feet along with a carpet audit, because many companies offer free quotes and estimates. What we actually do is give you a thorough carpet audit. Doesn't take a long time, but we'll come in, we'll evaluate the condition of your carpet, and we'll give you recommendations on how to best take care of it, and we'll clean one room up to 200 square feet so you can try out our services. And I would make this really powerful offer, and then I would say, and if you decide you want to have additional cleaning done, I'm happy to do so, and it comes with a 100% money back guarantee. Now this is for an episode of a future podcast,
right?
Because if people don't understand the free room of carpet cleaning, or they try to offer to renters, or they don't do the carpet audit and the process in the way that we actually teach it, they will screw it up, and then the immediate obstacles. I'm never going to give away a free room of carpet cleaning, but I will tell you, there is no offer in the world that has had more millions of dollars backing it up and proving it, and I've made more money, and our thousands of cleaners that have used this have made more money giving away free rooms of carpet cleaning to the right prospects in the right way than anyone has ever done price discounting their services. And so
that's how I grew my business.
Exactly.
I mean, for years.
And so anyone that comes up with an obstacle like, well, I don't do that, then you need to give yourself a mental enema, and you need to pay attention to what it is we're going to share, because that alone, even what I just said, if someone listens to nothing else but just gets the positioning of the consumer awareness guide, the unique presentation inside the home and doing something different, that alone will change the way. The average cleaner, when I first started selling my marketing programs in the very beginning, they would increase their average job by 25% per job when I first started in the early 90s teaching cleaners this by doing a free room of carpet cleaning and a carpet audit. 25% across the board. Take every job that you have and increase your revenue by 25%. I have people that pay me several hundred dollars, and they literally, by paying me several hundred dollars, they would make tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands. I've created millionaire companies as a result of just giving them a few tools that they never had in their toolbox. So the consumer awareness guide, one of the challenges with it, though, and I know you wanted to say something, so I kept rambling on. So what were you going to say, and then I'll come back to...
I think it had to do with just that trust and overcoming, because the number one issue with a carpet cleaning, or you know, with a consumer choosing a new carpet cleaner even, is that trust issue. Like, I've seen and talked to hundreds of cleaners who have watched a customer that then became theirs because of a free room, mind you.
Yes.
But had watched that customer, heard that customer say that they stuck with their cleaner because they weren't very good, but they didn't want to risk going with a new company.
Right.
Because there was way more fear of, you know, spending money and, you know, finding some loser carpet cleaner that didn't, wasn't certified, didn't know what he was doing, and created kind of anti-carpet cleaning, you know, because the carpet got dirty fast and was wet and all, you know, all the things opposite of what they wanted to accomplish. It was just too much pain, you know, too much of a pain to go through to try that. Yet when they had trust with a free room of carpet cleaning, consumer education, whether it was the guide or they read the internet, read the reviews, whatever it was that built that trust, then they easily made the switch because there was no risk.
Right.
And here, you know, these cleaners have gotten, and my company included, we would get into homes that people had used cleaners for years and years and years, the same one. All of a sudden, we get our foot in the door and they realize, oh my goodness, look what I've been missing out on.
Right.
But it was all because we overcame that that trust issue by just offering a no strings attached
thing. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and like, what's a more ethical way to position and sell your services? I remember reading some bulletin boards for people that didn't quite understand the psychology of what I did there. They would always have opinions, but they never read my stuff. So they'd read my ads, but they would never invest in my stuff, and they would never use it. And they're like, I don't want to use that hypey Joe Polish marketing stuff. I'm like, hypey Joe Polish? What the hell are you talking about? And so what I learned, it's kind of like that saying, you know, truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then it's violently opposed. Then it's accepted as self-evident. And there are still stages in the cleaning industry where it's ridiculed for, frankly, people that are just ignorant. They're dumb. and they're not open-minded, although they think they are, then it became violently opposed. I started having companies that I was actually helping. There were chemical and equipment companies that would actually like attack it and say, oh, you can't make $125,000 a year with one van. You know, then a few years later, I have Robert Peters, you know, who used to have 28 vans and 68 technicians, you know, back in when he was a low price cleaner. And then he started using my marketing strategies. And to this day, he's in his 70s and he's mailed out our monthly client newsletter every month for like damn near 20 years, and he became the highest grossing one truck operation in the United States that we were aware of, just doing residential cleaning. He was doing over $500,000 a year with one van. Well, he had a second van that was like, right, if one needed repairs. He had one technician, and his technician, Glenn, was getting paid $120,000 a year, yeah, as a technician using my marketing strategy.
He's still doing killer.
Yeah. He sent me a letter a few months ago. Yeah. I mean, it's like going, you know, this guy's been a client for years. But the thing is, you know, this is totally doable, but I totally got attacked in the very beginning. And it wasn't until, like, the late Ralph Bloss, who was just a great guy, he saw me speak. You know, he really, Lee Pemberton saw me speak. He was a great supporter. And, you know, he really said, you know, I want you to go out and do seminars, you know, for back then, you know, all of his Steamway distributors. So, and I was the keynote speaker at half of the cleaning conventions in the U.S., you know, by the throughout the 90s. I even went and I was the keynote speaker at the largest cleaning event in Australia, in U.K., in New Zealand, you know, Australia twice. And, you know, I just went everywhere. But, you know, the thing is, I realized, you know, I don't want to deal with people that want to resist truth. And when I say truth, I don't mean it's truth because it's my opinion. We tested all of this stuff. We know it works. I mean, we ran contests for years, Better Your Best contests and stuff for cleaners. There, you know, when Legends Brand came and did a meeting here at my office, I let them use the office to have their...
And they saw all the
And I took them through all of the binders. You know, and even my friend Dina Dwyer, who runs the Dwyer Group, you know, it's they do over $1 billion a year. They have Rainbow International's, one of their franchises, the Glass Doctor. She was on that show Undercover Boss. She's actually speaking at my conference in a couple of weeks, my Genius Network conference. You know, I mean, you take every franchise in the cleaning industry combined and put all of their marketing strategies together, none of them have the proven strategies that we have sitting in our Piranha Marketing database, yeah, in our offices here. I mean, it's just proven. So all of that stuff, the reason I bring all of that up is that's what you can look forward to on the Rich Cleaner podcast. We're going to actually just share it with you. We're going to give a lot of it. We're just going to give it away. Now, we have marketing kits. I mean, you have a big kit sitting here next to me, you know, part pieces of it where we sell. You know, this particular kit we're currently selling for, you know, about $1,799, which comes with online support and more stuff that you could ever shake a stick at, and videos and, you know, educational guides. We have the consumer awareness guide on video. You can put it online. All of this stuff that started back then is all available. But, you know, you can just listen to our podcast. You can get results. We're going to create value for you first. And then, because what we're doing, just like consumer awareness guides, and then I'm going to talk about free recorded messages, and we'll wrap up this first episode of the Rich Cleaner podcast. You know, we're going to create value first. We're going to literally, you know, let you hear this and see, does this resonate with you? Does this make sense? And if it does, you can decide to do business with us. But we're going to create results for people that will listen first, and we're going to sift, sort, and screen. Because I don't want every cleaner. I don't want whiners. I don't want skeptics. I want people that are like, oh, this totally makes sense. I'm going to try that idea. There's this great quote, which is, you ask for a new idea when you haven't used the first one that I gave you. And one of the things that would drive me crazy is that we would give, like, free room of carpet cleaning, consumer awareness guide, free recorded message, joint venture. You know, we have a quick start guide which shows, like, if someone was to get our kit, what can they implement immediately that will pay for the kit within the first week? I mean, I thought about it that way. How can I offer something for a fee that will remove all of the pain and suffering I had to spend 2 years struggling through? How can I eliminate that angst from a cleaner or restorer's life if they invested in my program, that it would truly deliver on it? And if it didn't, I'll give them all their money back. That's how I thought about it. How do I make this free to them so that they start profiting? Because if I make it free to them, guess what? They're going to keep wanting to give me money.
Right.
I mean, it's a pretty good proposition. Someone creates value for it over and above what you paid. You're going to want to keep getting that value. I mean, it just seems to me like a smart way to do business. And yeah, so that's how I thought about it. And so After I had the consumer awareness guide, people would call up and say, how much do you charge? I would offer to send them the consumer awareness guide. And when I sent it to them, they would call me back sometimes. Not all the time, but right. They were like, when can you do the job? I was like, this is great. Now there was a challenge because some people would call me up and say, you know, I'm interested in having my carpets cleaned tomorrow.
Right.
Well, back then there was no internet. See, today we can just send them the consumer awareness guide. We can send them links to the videos. We have all of this stuff automated. But the thing is like I couldn't do that. So I was like, how do I handle that? So I came up with this idea, and when I say I came up with it, I read about it from Gary Halbert, but it had never been used in the carpet cleaning industry. So I went back and paid that copywriter that I paid $1,800 to put together my consumer awareness guide. I gave him another $250 22 years ago from the time that we're actually doing this interview. I gave him another $250 to take the consumer guide and turn it into a 24-hour free recorded message. So I'm only going to go over this quickly, and we'll go deeper into it in a future episode of Rich Cleaner, the Rich Cleaner podcast. But what I did was I turned it into a 10-minute, 24-hour free recorded message on how to choose a carpet cleaner. And I started running campaigns like free recorded message reveals how to get your carpets cleaned properly, the keywords properly, at the lowest possible price. See, not how to get your carpets cleaned at the lowest possible price, but how to get them cleaned properly. Call this 24-hour free recorded message. Then I tested warning. Don't call any carpet cleaner until you listen to this free recorded message. Now, that made a lot of other carpet cleaners go nuts. They're like, warning, you know, now they're trying to scare people away from it. It's like, no, we're trying to get attention. If you don't like it, I mean, you can complain about it. You can actually try it and see it actually works pretty well. And it really does. And plus, I'm giving people useful information on how to choose a carpet cleaner. I was promoting certification. I was promoting, you know, showing which method cleans best. Of course, I was talking about my company and all of the virtues of my company. But anyone could have read the consumer guide or listened to the free recorded message. And in 10 minutes, they knew more about how to choose a carpet cleaner than any other carpet cleaner probably ever taught them in their entire lives. Yeah. And I did it with a robot. I did it with something that cost me $20 to $30 a month. People could call up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It always delivered an eloquent educational pitch, never complained about a headache, and it sifted, sorted, and screened price shoppers. And the people that all they cared about was the lowest price, they hung up. They didn't even have to talk to me. They didn't call me up and waste my time, and I didn't waste their time because all they're looking for, and one of the first things I said, if all you're looking for is a cheap brush the dirt off cleaner, then we respectfully ask that you call another company. And I immediately positioned myself in the very beginning. And so when I started running those ads, I no longer were driving people to call me on the phone. I was calling them to get educated and positioned first. So by the time I talked to them, they were pre-interested, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, predisposed to do business with me. Now, translate that to today. We've created videos. We've created all kinds of consumer guides and every type of imaginable cleaning that you can do. Commercial, residential, restoration, duck cleaning, you know, duck, I mean, even ducks, physical ducks with feathers. Not kidding, we haven't done that.
Yeah.
But we could, I guess there could be. And then by the late 90s, every major phone book in the United States had one or multiple versions running with my free recorded message ads. I had licensed my marketing materials to HVAC, printers, painters, auto sales, pest control, jewelry, florist, karate schools, and so, like, literally, you know, it generated several $1 billion worth of revenue for people that were using my ads and campaigns. But it all started because I was a dead broke carpet cleaner that needed to survive, and I learned the marketing techniques. I transformed my business, and then I started sharing it with other people after I proved it worked with one of my very first clients, Don DeLue, who's still in business today in Broomfield, Colorado. He was running a half-page phone book ad in the Denver phone book, and I met him at a conference where I was speaking, and I won't name his name because he's still around in the industry, but there was this guy that, you know, I was this young guy with a ponytail sitting in a seminar in a convention, and at PCRP, where was it? It was in Colorado, the PCRCA. I can't even remember what it was, the association. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in there just trying to learn, and there was a guy speaking about how to get restoration jobs, and he was talking about what you got to do in cleaning jobs. He said, you got to advertise 40% off. And I raised my hand and I said, well, I've been testing this free recorded message promotion and I don't advertise price at all. And people don't call me and ask how much you charge. I just have them call and listen to an educational message and it teaches them how to choose a cleaner. And by the time they listen to it, they actually call me up and say, when can you do the job? They don't even ask how much I charge. And he said, well, young man, if that works for you, that's great. But, you know, we know 40% off works best. I mean, he was arrogant. And because I'm a young guy with a ponytail, and God forbid, I might actually know something. So he totally poo-pooed my idea. But after, during break, two guys, I won't mention the other guy's name, but because they asked me, what's that free recorded message you're talking about? And I explained it to them. I explained how I paid $1,800 for this copywriter, but I will give them the complete scripts for just what I paid him to create the consumer guide, $250. I charged both. I said, give me a check for $250. I will send you the consumer awareness guide script. I'll give you some advice on how to use it. Just report to me your results. Don DeLue immediately implemented. I took him from a half-page phone book ad down to an ad smaller than the size of a business card. That small ad cost him $250 a month, cut his advertising budget in half, and quadrupled the response he was getting. And in a one-year period off that $250 a month ad in the Denver phone book, he actually did over $62,000 in business. And he was reporting to me what he was doing along the way. And it occurred to me, wow, I could probably share this with other cleaners. The other guy didn't do anything until 2 years later, after I had then become this quote-unquote marketing guru. And I don't even like the term guru. I mean, I just like literally took over the industry. I mean, it was like big. I sold a couple thousand cleaning companies within the first 2 years, bought my marketing course. Then he finally realized social proof. This obviously works. I'm a dumbass because I didn't do this in the beginning. Then he actually came on and started using my tools in his business. But some people are slow.
So I just want to clarify, because I think some people, just as they're listening to this, they might think, okay, that's the Yellow Pages. That was back then. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, this is ancient technology.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about what we're talking about is it's principle-based.
Right.
And so a principle allows you to apply what works to current media.
Yeah.
And so we'll get into that on another episode for sure.
Well,
but I just want to make sure people don't discard what you're saying just in light of the fact that it's a recorded message. Now, those still work, by the way.
Free recorded messages. I had a cleaner just recently that actually put a free recorded message on their van and sent us an email about they had gotten more calls in the last 3 months from the free recorded message on the back of their van than they've gotten in the previous 8 years from the beautiful, nice van letter they had that just drove them to a website in their regular phone.
So these things work.
Because everyone has a phone on them.
Yeah, these things work. And there are definitely other media, other ways to take that same principle message of education and educational type marketing and to use that type of a consumer guide, whether it's on a piece of paper, on a website, in an email, on a recorded message, and make it work. So we can talk about that. But don't discard the idea thinking that, oh, you know, I have to put it in the Yellow Page ad and my Yellow Page ads aren't working and yada, yada, yada. Maybe those are outdated. But
here's what I would say to that. If someone, after what I've already shared, uses that as an obstacle to opt out of this as a valid way to join marketing, they should probably never listen to another future episode of Rich Cleaner podcast, and they should never go to richcleaner.com. Love these embedded messages. Because let their competitors that actually are open up to this and understood what I said, that it's not about technology, it's about psychology. In 1997, I don't know the exact quote, and people can Google it, at the Worldwide Developers Conference, the late Steve Jobs, who in 1997, you know, he was on his way, he was going to transform the world, which he has, you know, with technology. But he said, you know, we don't start with the technology, we start with the user experience, and then we figure out the technology next. Okay, it's a quote along those lines. And that's what it boils down to. It's not about the technology, it's about the psychology. So you take the psychology of what I've been talking about and you layer it with all the delivery systems. And the last thing I'll say about, well, I could always say this is the last thing, but then I think of something else. So people are going to have to get used to my tangents, but anyway. So there's three things you need in order to sell something. You need a product or service. So in this case, your cleaning or restoration company. You need a sales pitch or marketing message, and you need a delivery system. Now, I have a sheet here called the Piranha Marketing Control Tool Audit. This will give somebody a gist of all the different things that we're going to talk about in the future of I Love Marketing. And we might even provide this to some people for free, maybe if they make comments or we like them or we decide who we're going to share this with. Because this single sheet, people can run their entire campaigns and brainstorm with this. But here's some of the different delivery systems. So again, three things you need to sell something: product or service, your cleaning or restoration company or whatever it is, because people that are service businesses can listen to this and still get value, because it's a very formulaic stuff. Second is the marketing message, and third is the delivery system. Back then, our delivery systems were Yellow Pages. They were, well, I'll read some. Today, they're social media, they're Facebook, they're Google, they're, you know, Yelp, they're, you know, all kinds of different ways. So here's just a few of them. And I'm going to read this real quickly so people can see just how many different delivery systems there are. But you can use all the world's greatest delivery systems, but if you're delivering a crappy message, it's irrelevant because, the only thing worse than singing the wrong note is singing it louder. Okay? So free reports, consumer guides, free recorded messages and hotlines, monthly newsletters, referral programs, gift programs, stick strategies, client anniversary and birthday gifts, referrals and thank you gifts, notes, testimonials, eavesdrop lines. Those are where people can call a 24-hour free recorded message and hear what your other clients have to say about how awesome you are. That's total social proof. Client councils and surveys, business cards, brochures, signage, storefront, vans, billboards, sales letters, multi-step letters, direct mail, postal, grabbers, lumpy mail. That's where you actually put something in an envelope to get their attention. Banners, email sponsorship, books, e-books, audio CDs, MP3s, DVDs, per inquiry advertising, print, radio, TV, internet, presentations using package selling and like carpet audits, teleseminars, webinars, live seminars, public speaking, personalized info on hold, advertising, newspaper, TV, radio, even Yellow Pages. People like Yellow Pages are dead. We have cleaners that are still making money in Yellow Pages. There's still a lot of people in the world that get Yellow Pages. It's not that they're bad or they're old. Direct marketing doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make money. Okay, so, and you can buy offline advertising at a fraction to what it used to cost. One of my favorite methods of marketing today, which we teach, is direct mail. Every door direct mail, because there's less noise in people's mailboxes than ever before in history, because everyone's putting all this attention on internet marketing, and it leaves you all this viable ways to generate business. Valpak, money mailer type mailings. Now, a lot of people are like, well, those are just price. Well, yeah, your advertising price, but if you're doing consumer awareness guide stuff, totally different. Press releases, celebrity endorsements, appearance announcements, writing for industry magazines, television, radio appearances, interviews, radio, recorded, print, voice broadcast.
Is it double-sided?
No.
Okay.
So raise your prices, pride of spending. I mean, we'll teach people how to actually raise their prices, because if you don't know the formula for how much to charge for something, let us know that in the comments at richcleaner.com, because at a future episode, if you want to know, I will teach you the formula for how much you charge for something. And so you'll never be at a loss for how much you charge for your services if you want to charge more. Champion circle of influence, endorse mailings, JVs, telemarketing, voicemail, trade shows, point of purchase selling, websites, email marketing, search engine ranking, 1-800 numbers, clubs, association sponsorships, charity events, client appreciation dinners, continuity, maintenance, guarantees, conditional, non-conditional, blogs, social networking sites like LinkedIn, like YouTube, like Facebook. There's a million things. Microblogging, you know, Twitter, things like that. And I've interviewed Gary Vaynerchuk and Tim Ferriss. These are all friends of mine, some of the world's leading, you know, social media people, internet marketers. They're all personal friends of mine. I mean, I've interviewed Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, even here in this room. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed Sandra Day O'Connor, former Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Arianna Huffington, Russell Simmons. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we do in all aspects of building and growing a successful business. But we're going to focus on the Rich Cleaner podcast, on teaching cleaners and restorers how to build and grow an elf business so you can have an easy, lucrative, and fun business versus a half business, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. And here's the place to do it. And this advice, if they were to hire me personally, would cost thousands of dollars, and we're just going to literally give it away. And we're going to build rapport, and this is going to be the go-to place. So if you found this valuable, which I hope you did, and hopefully you find my personality charming. And I don't have a ponytail anymore, so some people that just couldn't accept me with a ponytail, I'm losing all my hair. So basically, you know, that's out of the way. You don't have excuses for that anymore. But genuinely, I really want to
help. But you would wear a ponytail if you could still.
I used to have to wear it like it on the top of my head when I sleep. So, I mean, people don't realize women with long hair what they have to go through in order to deal with that stuff. But that's a whole other issue. We'll talk about that on a future episode. But we will talk about marketing to women. We will have our female clients. We have tons of female Piranha Marketing members and people that have transformed their businesses. We're going to have guests, like I said in the beginning. Sometimes it's just going to be you, Joel. Sometimes it'll be both of us. We're going to interview different people. We're going to bring you all kinds of aspects, because what we're really offering here is direction, confidence, capabilities, and clarity. And if you can listen to one of these episodes, like if you've listened to this one and you have more direction, you have more perspective, you have more confidence in how to do marketing, you've learned something, that is a shift. And just like working out, if you go work out once and you look in the mirror, you're not going to see any change. If you work out the second day and you look in the mirror, you're not going to see any change. But if you do that for every day or every other day, and then 3 months later you look at a photograph of yourself, you're going to see the changes. And this is the same way. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. But the alternative is, if you don't do any of this stuff, incrementally, you're not going to make any changes. And if you're struggling right now, you're still going to be struggling. You're going to be an older version of yourself. You know, the whole definition of insanity, people have heard this a million times, doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. And if you're already doing great in business and you're inspired to do greater, this is just going to enhance everything that you're always doing well. So this is probably one of the longest episodes we'll do, but it's also the very first one. So we wanted to give someone an immersion into this first episode. And what else didn't I say that needs to be said here?
I don't know. You said a lot, but it's all good and valuable, because yeah, it's like, if you could, you have any, you know, brain cells, you would take what we give you and you would use it.
Right.
You would take, and what you said I like, because if you take just small things, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I got to use every single thing they talked about. Take one thing away from this podcast and put it into place, mm-hmm, and you build on that day after day. It'll make massive changes by the end of a year.
Yeah.
You know, look at your last year. I'd say, you know, if you're a cleaner and you're frustrated with the way your business is going, if you're in that category, mm-hmm, you know, look at last year, and, you know, if you continue to do the same things you did last year, where are you going to be?
Right.
Versus, you know, taking some little steps, baby steps, and making a huge difference in your business by the end of this year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I will say that, you know, the most expensive information in the world is bad information. There's a lot of free information out there, or really cheap information that's out there, but it's bad. And we're not going to give you bad information here. We're going to do our best to share what we think is really valuable, and you're going to hear from real successful people that are having success using this stuff, and we're going to talk about strategies that are proven. None of this is theoretical. I'm not a theoretical guy. Do I have ideas? Will I build upon ideas and say, maybe you could try this? Yes, but it's always based and rooted on something that I know works and has been proven to work, and that's what we're going to share. And the biggest danger we have with people doing well with marketing is, not only do they not respect it, because I consider it the most important thing ever. Like, if you want to build and grow cash flow, marketing is what turns on the money faucet. That's what does it. And if you don't think marketing is important, try holding your breath for 5 minutes, because it's as important as oxygen. If you hold your breath for 5 minutes, you may be dead. If you don't do marketing, you know, you're either really lucky and got supply and demand on your side, or, you know, wait till someone comes along that's a savvy competitor, because you'll be out of business. And so if you're riding along and doing well without having to figure out marketing, you're just in a lucky position. That's great. Marketing is simply going to enhance that. But the biggest obstacle we have is not teaching marketing strategies to people. It's people that have a disrespect for marketing. They actually don't even think marketing is important, but they actually, like, oh, you know, I don't really like it, and they talk crap about it. And so a lot of what we're going to do is, we're going to redefine what marketing means in the cleaning and restoration industry. We've already done that with a lot of people, but we've never opened it up like this. We've been, you know, we've been helping many people that most of the industry never even know about. Now this is just going to go out to everyone. So, and it's going to be a value creation monopoly. We're going to create a monopoly where someone controls you. You're the only electric company in town, and they can't do business with anyone else. So even if the people suck, you're kind of forced to do business with them. Whereas a value creation monopoly, which is a term my dear friend Dan Sullivan came up with, we're actually, people will grant us a monopoly because we're so awesome. And there's no one in the cleaning and restoration industry that is going to be more awesome than we are. Well, are there going to be great people out there? Yes. And if we find those people, we will introduce people to them. We don't need to even do joint ventures with them. We'll say, hey, this person's doing great marketing stuff. We'll interview them for this episode. We'll tell, you know, we want to just help the industry. And by being the facilitators of those conversations, we're going to provide an immense service. And that's our goal. That's our objective. And that's what we hope to do. And so we want your help with this. We want your comments. We want you to let us know what you thought about this, what you'd like to hear about in future episodes of the Rich Cleaner podcast. If you have other friends in the cleaning industry, please share this with them. And you're going to see us do some fantastic stuff. Sometimes we're going to post podcasts that I've done on my other podcasts at ilovemarketing.com or 10xtalk.com, anything that we feel is going to make you a more capable business owner. And Joel, I have to really personally thank you, because you are a driver of all of this. This is not something that I would have done on my own without our collaboration. And you work behind the scenes. You are talking to a lot of cleaners. You're testing a lot of different things. You're putting a lot of time and effort into it. And so, you know, this is not like Joe Polish. You know, I have a whole team of people. I mean, even behind the cameras, we have a video crew. There's a lot that goes into this sort of stuff. And so You know, it's all a group effort. So I really appreciate
your
contribution and the fact that you were a guy that, you know, years ago was struggling and wanted to find a different way, and you did it, and how all of this is now helping so many thousands of other business owners, you know, build and grow awesome businesses. So
yeah, I'm excited to help.
Awesome. So that's it, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode of I Love Marketing. I nearly said it on RichCleaner.com, the podcast. See, and I'm going to say that all the time. It's kind of like calling someone by a different name.
Hey, you know.
So, yeah.
We do
so,
love
And we're going to leave that in. We're not even going to edit that out, that I just said that. I've done so many episodes of it. And so if you have not yet seen Joel's shirt and you're still curious, you must go there right now and comment on it. And if we get enough positive results, maybe we'll start selling a clothing line.
Or I'll change my style.
Right, exactly. All right. See you, everyone.
That concludes another value-packed episode of the Rich Cleaner Podcast. To get the resources and links discussed on this episode, be sure to visit richcleaner.com. Also, be sure to check out the latest episodes added to richcleaner.com weekly. And don't miss out on the bonus videos, extras, and a place you can leave comments and ask questions. Go to richcleaner.com today.